Tarzan the Terrible by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Chapter 1. The Pithecanthropus. Silent as the shadows through which he moved, the great beast slunk through the midnight jungle, his yellow-green eyes round and staring, his sinewy tail undulating behind him, his head lowered and flattened, and every muscle vibrant to the thrill of the hunt. The jungle moon dappled an occasional clearing which the great cat was always careful to avoid. Though he moved through thick verdure across a carpet of innumerable twigs, broken branches and leaves, his passing gave forth no sound that might have been apprehended by dull human ears. Apparently less cautious was the hunted thing, moving even as silently as the lion 100 paces ahead of the tawny carnivore, for instead of skirting the moon-splashed natural clearings, it passed directly across them, and by the tortuous record of its spoor it might indeed be guessed that it sought these avenues of least resistance, as well it might, since, unlike its grim stalker, it walked erect upon 2 feet. It walked upon 2 feet and was hairless except for a black thatch upon its head. Its arms were well-shaped and muscular, its hands powerful and slender, with long tapering fingers and thumbs reaching almost to the first joint of the index fingers. Its legs, too, were shapely, but its feet departed from the standards of all races of men, except possibly a few of the lowest races, in that the great toes protruded at right angles from the foot. Pausing momentarily in the full light of the gorgeous African moon, the creature turned an attentive ear to the rear, and then, his head lifted, his features might readily have been discerned in the moonlight. They were strong, clean-cut, and regular, features that would have attracted attention for their masculine beauty in any of the great capitals of the world. But was this thing a man? It would have been hard for a watcher in the trees to have decided as the lion's prey resumed its way across the silver tapestry that Luna had laid upon the floor of the dismal jungle, for from beneath the loincloth of black fur that girdled its thighs there depended a long hairless white tail. In one hand the creature carried a stout club, and suspended at its left side from a shoulder belt was a short sheathed knife, while a cross belt supported a pouch at its right hip. Confining these straps to the body, and also apparently supporting the loincloth, was a broad girdle, which glittered in the moonlight as though encrusted with virgin gold, and was clasped in the center of the belly with a huge buckle of ornate design that scintillated as with precious stones. Closer and closer crept Numa, the lion, to his intended victim, and that the latter was not entirely unaware of his danger was evidenced by the increasing frequency with which he turned his ear and his sharp black eyes in the direction of the cat upon his tail. He did not greatly increase his speed, a long swinging walk where the open paces permitted, but he loosened the knife in its scabbard, and at all times kept his club in readiness for instant action. Forging at last through a narrow strip of dense jungle vegetation, the man-thing broke through into an almost treeless area of considerable extent. For an instant he hesitated, glancing quickly behind him and then up at the security of the branches of the great trees waving overhead. But some greater urge than fear or caution influenced his decision, apparently, for he moved off again across the little plain, leaving the safety of the trees behind him. At greater or less intervals, leafy sanctuaries dotted the grassy expanse ahead of him, and the route he took, leading from one to another, indicated that he had not entirely cast discretion to the winds. But after the second tree had been left behind, the distance to the next was considerable, and it was then that Numa walked from the concealing cover of the jungle and, seeing his quarry apparently helpless before him, raised his tail stiffly erect and charged. 2 months, 2 long, weary months, filled with hunger, with thirst, with hardships, with disappointment, and, greater than all, with gnawing pain, had passed since Tarzan of the Apes learned from the diary of the dead German captain that his wife still lived. A brief investigation, in which he was enthusiastically aided by the intelligence department of the British East African Expedition, revealed the fact that an attempt had been made to keep Lady Jane in hiding in the interior.